Hello, everyone, and welcome to this podcast. My name's Kate Cooper. I'm Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute of Leadership and Management. And this podcast is a summary of the third webinar in our Be a Better Home Worker series, which we launched on the 23rd of March 2020. Those of you familiar with the Institute of Leadership and Management know that we see leadership as multidimensional, and part of leadership to us is achievement. And there's nothing so important to achieving than being able to manage the performance of other people within the organisation. All of our resources are organised around our five dimensions, of which achievement is one, and those dimensions are further broken down in components. Managing performance being an important component, as I've said. And within managing performance, we look at three areas, the resources on our website to support that. But the three things I'm going to talk about today are the performance review, setting objectives, and that perennial problem of how do we manage underperformance. Great leadership means you need to set clear expectations. There needs to be some monitoring of performance, so you know when to say well done, you know when to say how about changing direction. And so often we convey that to people through objectives. Managing by objectives was really the brainchild of management guru Peter Drucker, who presented a picture where if we know what our strategic, our overarching objectives are, we can break those down to a departmental level, then to teams, and ultimately to the individual. So as long as we keep within that overarching framework, then everybody is going to be on message and going to be all pulling in the same direction. But if we look at that image now, however much it informs so much of traditional management thinking, it seems strangely static. I think one of the problems is firstly ensuring you've got the right strategic objectives, given that we're working in very fast-changing environments. And then by the time you've worked out how to share them out, how to make them fairly distributed at a departmental, never mind a team and an individual level, one is pretty sure that after the dissemination and cascading that's been going on, things will have changed. But nevertheless, this setting of objectives is something that continues, it's ubiquitous, and as I said, it's a very useful way of trying to communicate what is it we want from people. When you hear about objectives, you invariably hear about SMART, that they should be specific and measurable and achievable, relevant and time constrained. And it's my belief that the setting of SMART objectives almost becomes an end in itself. That once you feel, oh, my objectives are SMART, it's almost like job done. And we forget that they're supposed to actually be just a guide to performing effectively. And I did come across some research recently that indicated that very few SMART objectives are actually achieved. Now, this might be because they're poorly written, as some people argue, or it might be that actually they're just not working. For something to be so well known and to so widespread, if the take up and the success isn't there, then maybe it's telling us to think again. And one of the people who is advocating thinking again is Mark Murphy, who advocates what he calls hard objectives. Now, I'm not saying that let's replace one dogma with another. But I think what's interesting about Mark Murphy's hard objectives is they start with the heart. They should be heartfelt. And it's only if we care about achieving the objectives that they are then going to become animated. We'll do something about it. They are a call for action and then realistic. And he also advocates being difficult. It's a different way of thinking about objectives, and those people who are happy with SMART objectives and they work well for them, please let me know, because I'm really interested in how people use SMART objectives successfully. Any performance review starts with some sort of discussion about SMART objectives, or perhaps even hard objectives. And the advice that we make available on our website is great advice, traditional management theory, but if we look at that now in the context of trying to keep people working at home, what's the performance review going to look like? Now, I'm not talking about those reviews that are already done virtually. I'm talking about the people who actually rely so much on seeing the people whose performance that they're reviewing, because every day you're getting data about how well they're going, how it's going for them, how busy they are, how many phone calls they get, how early and late they have to come to work. We're being told so many things just by being in the same physical location as somebody else. Whereas if you're not seeing somebody, we're starting our performance review in a very different sort of place. We've also got the fact that we can't see the domestic situations of people, although a lot of people are giving us insights into their wardrobes and other parts of their homes. We're not seeing the situation that people are finding themselves in. We don't know if they're sharing their workspace with other people who are also trying to work from home, or maybe they're sharing it with elderly relatives or children. And that is putting unrealistic and unusual demands on their time. And the only way we can really find that out, we can't see it, we have to ask them, how is it going? What are your circumstances? How do you think this is going to affect your performance? As a manager conducting performance reviews, you might well have to adapt and be agile yourself. And of course, your circumstances might be quite challenging compared to how they were previously. Booking a room, getting all your forms ready in advance, and all the best practice things that we might have been doing previously. You might have to do one at 6 o'clock in the morning. You might have to do it frequently rather than one long session. Whatever works, but what works has to be a negotiation. Carrying on doing performance reviews, it's important to keep people on track. It's important that people get feedback, but also recognition. It's really quite a difficult thing. Working at home, although it might be a bit more difficult to identify, is still, there will be situations of underperformance. And this, of course, is something that really challenges all managers, however experienced. What do you do when somebody is just not delivering to the standard that you think is acceptable? Their work's poor, they're just not doing enough, they're missing deadlines, all of those things that are so frustrating and so difficult to correct. And even more difficult when you're not seeing the person and not perhaps being able to intervene at the moment when it's really needed. Working at home often requires setting up an appointment to talk about these things. You don't want to add stress to somebody's already quite stressful existence. But what you can do, before assuming that underperformance is somehow the fault of the individual, is to make the assumption that they are actually doing their best. And if they are not performing to the standard that you want, it's not their fault. And that it might be because they just don't have the right information. If you ask somebody to explain their lack of performance or poor performance, very rarely will somebody say that they're just because they're not good enough. It will be resource difficulties. There'll be other people putting obstacles in their way. There might be a genuine lack of skill. Might be that they're overworked. But whatever the reason that the individual sees it, it's fairly unlikely to be because they actually think that it's somehow that they're lacking. What might be lacking is motivation. And that is so individual and so about the circumstances that someone finds themselves in that the only way you can understand it is by asking them. We know, particularly at this time, a lot of people have side hustles. You know, they monetize their leisure. They might be doing the job for you because the job closest to their heart doesn't pay well enough or there aren't enough opportunities. It isn't to mean that they cannot and should not do a good job for you. But recognizing different motivations is so important. Understanding how differently people communicate, and I think that's even more important now because we are going to be so reliant on communication that we're not used to for many of us. We're not picking up cues about body language. As I mentioned earlier, we're not able to see the pressures individuals are under by witnessing them in the workplace. We will know that they will have new and very real worries, and they again will be as unique and individual as each person is and their circumstances are. So when we're considering performance, especially underperformance, the starting point has to be, how is it for you? How are you managing? How can I help you do the best job that you can do in these difficult circumstances? Because the longer the isolation continues, the more difficult it is for leaders and managers to inspire and motivate the people around them and themselves, undoubtedly. So we have to think, this is the team we've got. Let's get the best from them. And this, for so many people, might be their opportunity to shine. We hear a lot about introverted managers, and maybe this is their moment. Maybe at last we'll recognise that perhaps we over-reward extroversion, and that the introverted manager who's not needing the company and the input from other people to energise them is a brilliant home worker, a brilliant home worker manager. So to conclude, when we're thinking about getting the best out of people at work, I'd refer you to the advice of Ursula Tavender, who delivered a webinar for us a few days ago, who said, when you're managing people at home, you have to be flexible. It's flexible working, your policies have to be flexible. You start trying to introduce organisational wide policies, especially in a huge organisation, they're going to be out of date before anybody even understands them, and they might not work. Get the teams together. Ask them what's going to make them perform at their best now in the situation they're in. Because we cannot solve it by recruiting new people. We're having to solve it with the resources and the capabilities that we've got there. Encourage people, if they do have time, to take advantage of learning and development opportunities. Not only is that a way of using time wisely, but it also means that when circumstances change and the world of work will change fundamentally, and new skills are going to be needed for whatever it's like in weeks or months' time, encourage people to get ready. But top of your list all the time is, how do I keep my team motivated? I want them to perform and I want me to perform. We have got to collectively do that for each other. I hope you've found this podcast helpful. Please do log on to our website, www.institutelm.com. Join the webinars if you can. Download the resources that are freely available, or listen to the next podcast.